Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Fan Experience TV. I am your host, Mike Kados. Alongside me is my co-host, Rick Molina. We're coming to you live from Bishop Sycamore High School for episode 94. Welcome, everybody. For those of you, like I said, for those of you who tuning in for the first time, I'm Mike Kados. Alongside me is my co-host, Rick Molina. Rick, how was your week?
My week was good. I'm a thumbs up, by the way. I'm a thumbs up for episode 94.
I'm here.
You're here. I'm here. You're here.
Yeah.
Week was good. I mean, what can you ask for? I mean, it was a good weekend. And then bombshell story after bombshell story breaks in sports. I mean, you can't ask for anything more, but this I'm going to let you lead on this, my friend, because this is about your team. This is about your acquisition. This is about your owner and your front office and the disgrace that were the New York Mets about for about, I would say, a good 24 to 48 hours. And all of a sudden, the prodigal son returns and redemption. So, Mike, I'll let you take it away.
Well, I appreciate the honor, I guess. So yeah, let's talk about my New York Mets, or as I like to call them, the New York mess. The fans are justifiably booing the players, most notably Mr. Javier Baez.
Yeah.
He's striking out 8 out of every 10 times up at the plate.
Yeah, it's not good.
So, and granted, like we knew he was a big strikeout guy, and we didn't give up a hell of a lot to get him, but you still expected a little bit more from him. And they're sitting there and booing, and he's sitting there and he's throwing up thumbs down to the fans and trying to disrespect the fans. And you're in New York. If you don't expect to hear boos, then I don't know what you expect. So you have to be thick-skinned. And when he's asked about it after the game, he first off admitted it. He did it purposely. Like, there was an actual purpose, because he talked on it with, yep, you know, holding his, you know, child on his knee and everything. And he said, listen, we're not machines. We're not going to get a hit every time up. We're going to get out 7 out of 10 times. But you know what? When they boo me, it doesn't bother me. But how do you say it doesn't bother you
when it bothers
yet you want to show? It's like, these fans just need to act better. Like, it's on the fans. Like, dude, the fans pay your salary. If there wasn't fans, and especially in a market that is New York City, especially playing second fiddle to the New York Yankees for their entire history of their team. You expect, and with how the season started and then the last month, and Sandy Alderson also sided with the Sands afterwards, saying, like, if you lose 11 games in the standings in the last month, they're justifiably going to be upset. And they're going to want to boo. And booing is a sign of passion. And unfortunate, it's one of those negative signs of passion, but it is what it is. If you're losing, you're going to get the boos. If you're winning, you're going to get the cheers. And then you got today. He comes out and he says, I'm sorry if I offended anybody. So pretty much it was his Marshawn Lynch, I'm just here so I don't get fined type of apology.
Yeah.
So, and the Mets went out there, played a game against the Marlins, and dude scored the winning run in a 5-run ninth inning and loses his earring. And I think they're still looking for the
earring. Still looking for the earring as we speak in the top of the fifth inning.
You know, but that's why I'm here, because he was here this morning, then the apology came, so I got here, and then he scores the winning run. So I go, like, right here. I'm not all the way there yet. So, Rick, your thoughts.
When I first heard this story, I found it sort of like, I had to be like, wait, what just happened here? Then as the story sort of developed with Javi Vasquez, remember I was watching that interview with his kid on his lap saying, you know what, the fans need to support us. The fans shouldn't be booing us, like sort of dictating terms to fans. And then obviously the bigger part was Francisco Lindor, who we'll get into a minute here. But what he doesn't seem to understand here is he's in New York. This is a fan base that's wanted a winner since 1986. This is a fan base that's been starved for a winner, that's come close, 2000 World Series. I mean, in 88, they should have won it again, 2000 World Series. 2015 with the Dark Knight. This is a fan base that's starved for a winner. They traded for this guy to add some umph to the lineup, to make a run at the playoffs. And the Mets right now are not in playoff contention. It's just been a disaster, complete collapse. And here's a guy who's saying, you know what? I'm gonna take it out on the fans. It's the fans' fault that we suck and we support them. And it was a complete PR disaster. And I guess he didn't either read, sort of like just doesn't understand the market that he's in. And forgets that this guy is making millions of dollars a year from people who are paying the tickets, who are buying the jerseys, who are buying those expensive beers, paying crazy parking, extraordinary prices for ticket sales, group tickets or whatever, and just doesn't get it, and just didn't get it. But the story was, and obviously it was, that Francisco Lindor was taking part in this, and that he sort of was the one behind it. And you know what? Here's a problem for you guys. You're stuck with him for 10 years, man. You guys just gave him $340 million. I mean, this is just going to be, and this, it hasn't even been a season with this dude, right? And it's just, and he's not, and he has to understand, he is not in Cleveland anymore. He's making a lot of money to hit. He hasn't hit. He's getting paid to lead this team, a young team, into the future. He hasn't performed. And he somehow thinks that he's above getting booed. And I'm sorry, but in New York, how this fan base is, Yankees or Mets, you don't perform, you're going to get booed. And this reminded me of Jack McDowell, I think it was 95. He's walking off the mound. He gives the middle finger to the fans, and that was pretty much the end of Jack McDowell here in New York. But they don't realize that what this fan base is yearning for a winner. They understand they have DeGrom and they have Syndergaard, and if they get into a playoffs, they get a shot with these guys, and they're not living up to the hype. They're not living up to what they were built up to be. And so for them to start booing the fans and blaming the fans is just a dumb thing to do. And then Steve Cohen to come out and say, well, these are young guys. I mean, just pretty much just sort of backing him on Twitter, that's even worse because the owner simply is just out of touch with the fan base and doesn't get it. It was Sandy who kind of sort of took the reins there and said, no, you can't do this. But then what happens is, anything in life, things come full circle. Mets down 5-1 today. They come back. Javi Baez goes away and run. Thumbs up. All is good in the world. But it goes to show that some of these players just don't get it. They live in the life of kings, man, flying on jets or whatever, and you can't take it out on the fans because, you know, they're booing you because you just suck on them. And I think this is a lesson for Lindor. It's a lesson for Baez, wherever he goes, because I don't think he's going to be here next year. And it's also a message, lesson to the owner, like, hey, man, wake up, dude. Like, your fan base is telling you something. Like, get your head, put your helmet on, get in the game, and let's go. So that's what I thought about it. I mean, it's just an unforced error by the Mets. But it's a Mets thing to do, man. This organization just does this dumb stuff all the time.
Like I said, the New York Mets.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you bring up a good point with Lindor. But I want to touch on one of your players.
Yeah.
Giancarlo Stanton.
Oh, yeah.
Who is no stranger to struggling.
Yeah.
When he signed with the Yankees, he had golden sombreros aplenty, 5 strikeout games, struggled mightily for a good amount of the time that he was wearing pinstripes, and got booed. And those Yankee fans are not used to seeing that from a prized acquisition.
Oh, they saw it from
the caliber of Giancarlo Stanton, who should have changed his name back to Michael because of how he was hitting. But he handled it with class.
Yeah.
He just took it in, absorbed it. He's like, okay, I deserve these boos. If you're striking out, these fans are paying the people that are sitting up in the bleachers, up at the top, whatever, they're still paying 30, 40 bucks to sit there on top of their parking or their subways to get there.
Yep.
And then they're going to get food. And I mean, it's a $200 ordeal, like for two people to go and watch a game.
Yeah. Imagine if you're a family of four to go see that, man. Come on. As your boy Michael just hit a 2-run home run, but go ahead.
He's like, And now he's thinking, well, they're not going to sign Baez, so maybe I could save my career with the Mets.
It was just
a shot now.
I mean, it's something that shouldn't have happened. And you're right, Giancarlo Stanton. You know, this also reminds me of A-Rod. I mean, A-Rod in 2003 when he got here, he was heralded as solidifying Murderer's Row plus Cano, so to speak. Up until the ALCS there in game four of ALCS. Listen, he would have been the ALCS MVP that year if they'd have won. They would have swept the Red Sox.
He was.
Yeah, he was. He would have been. But then that sort of led to the spiraling of A-Rod in New York. But he took it, man. I mean, the guy, say what you will, took it. But, I mean, it's just another unforced error by the Mets. And Lindor's got to understand. And here's the other question. You guys signed to a 10-year contract. He's going to have to deal with this stuff for 10 years, man. Mm-hmm. 10 years. It's a long time.
So yep. I read something that Lindor is not – the leader, because if David Wright saw that about to happen, he would have pulled both players off the field and gave him like a stern, like just talking to him and be like, listen, this is what has to happen. And you know what? I hope he's doing that. He's the one that told Baez to say those words, probably.
Well, that was Sandy who told him to say that. But I think the message.
And he went on Twitter too.
Right, and I think the message got to the players. It got to Lindor. It got to Bob and some of the other guys who were participating.
Pilar did it too.
I mean, look, you're not going to win a war with the fans. It's just not going to happen, dude. Especially in New York. They will eat you up. I mean, they will make you miserable here when you play. So let's hope for the Mets. Maybe this is a galvanizing moment for the Mets, right? They just won the first game of this doubleheader today. They're up 3-0 now. Maybe this unites the team. They go on a little run here, and with a month left in the season, we'll see where we go. Meanwhile, the team across the river is in California.
Mm-hmm. Sunny Los Angeles.
Yeah, out in Los Angeles, California, Anaheim. Had a 13-game winning streak, and then all of a sudden, they lose one on Saturday to Oakland. Then they lose another on Sunday to Oakland. And then Monday night, 8-7 with Mr. Ohtani hitting a freaking moonshot.
Yeah, that's what he does.
That's what he does. And I'll tell you, man, look, Yankees right now are, what are they, four back, I believe? They made a hell of a run here. I think they're four back in the loss column to Tampa. They got a shot.
They leapfrogged the Red Sox, so that's something.
But right now they got a shot at the division. And so the Yankees right now need to stabilize in that pitching a little bit and take a shot. But with a month left in the season, the way the bats are rolling right now, Rizzo's back in the lineup. Gallo's starting to come into his own a little bit. The Yankees, I mean, they just lost Britton to some surgery, I think, for the year here. They removed a bone spreader. But the Yankees right now, look, man, they got a shot to win this division. If not, make a playoffs and make some noise. But right now, they just kind of get a win here to kind of settle this thing down. I mean, they're seven back in the loss column to Tampa. Let's see. They're seven back in the loss column to Tampa. And what are they in the wild card? And then they're up two on the Red Sox in the wild card. So, look, with a month left, obviously anything can happen. But look, the Yankees are starting to come into themselves a little bit. I think they're starting to get roll-wounded. Rizzo was born to be a Yankee. That guy hits clutch at the moment that you need him to. He just fits the mold of a Yankee. He's a Scott Brosius, Tino Martinez kind of guy. Perfect fit. And with a month left in the season, I think the Yankees are going to gel a little more and make a little noise, come get to the postseason. I predict they will get to the postseason. They will make a run.
Yeah, they got to
be able to hold on here.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. They're like, what are they, 23 over 500?
Yeah. And you know what the difference between them and the Rays are? The Rays are, I heard this.
$200 million?
Well, that's it. No, the Yankees are 10-7 against Baltimore, and the Rays, I think, are 17 and what is it? One, I think, or something like that? Or some incredible just number that I could not believe that was the difference right there.
Yeah, I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, hold on. Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable.
What you got to do.
But that's the difference between the Yanks and the Rays. I mean, that's the difference right there.
Yeah.
Listen, we'll see how it goes. A month left to play in the season. I like the way the Yankees are playing right now. I want them to be able to get out of California with at least a win tonight. Ohtani's not pitching, but he's sure bat. If you're able to get out of the series, take these next couple games and get back to New York, get some rest, I like where we're at. We're looking good.
Yep. 100%. They've turned it around significantly. Those wheels came right back on the wagon.
And I think the front office realized they needed to balance the lineup. There were two right-handed dominant, and they needed to balance the lineup. Rizzo and Gallo were the perfect signings. There's more balance in the lineup, and they added an element of speed. Do you notice they're stealing bases now? They're more active on the bases. They're not sitting there waiting for the two-run home run. They're active on the bases, and they're moving, man. Their game is a little more fun for them. They were boring and stale. Now they're a little more excited. That kid Velasquez is stealing bases. I mean, it's just a different team right now. And, yeah, they've lost a couple here. They lost on set. I think they lost, three in a row right now?
Three.
I think they lost three in a row. So, listen, we get a win now. We get a win tonight. We're moving forward. But it's just a different element to the team. I mean, I'm a little worried about their pitching. But I think if they get into the playoffs, they'll be okay.
No, I agree. They're doing the right things right now. They're playing the small ball. They're playing the long ball. They're playing every. They're not counting out anything. Any ways to win. Exactly. So they're playing good ball. I mean, 13 games in a row doesn't come along easy, especially in this like new era of the sabermetrics and the analytics and whatnot. So.
Yeah, I think they did. I think they're doing away some of that sabermetrics. But anyway, big day in the NFL. Today was cut day.
Big day in the NFL, of course.
And around 10 o'clock this morning, I'm sitting here reading, studying, and the news breaks. Cam Newton is cut by the Patriots. Mac Jones, the 15th overall pick in the draft, will be the starter against Miami, down in Miami, week one. I got to say, this is a bit of a ballsy move by Belichick, but I guess he knows – look, I guess he knows he has something there with Mac Jones. But listen, I just think that they've said, you know what, we're just going to rip the Band-Aid off and move forward with this kid. He fits what we're trying to do. Cam Newton, you cannot – listen, you have the choice of not getting vaccinated. Once you miss 3 days, man, the kid takes advantage of his opportunities, it's a wrap. And that's what happened to Cam Newton. So there you go. Good for Mac Jones. It's good. I love the AFC East, Mike. Zach Wilson with the Jets, rookie, starting. Your boy Josh Allen with the Bills just signed a massive contract. And then the Miami Dolphins with Tua. Although word on the street is they're making a run at Deshaun Watson. So we have the youngest quarterbacks in the league in the AFC East, which is really exciting to watch. I mean, for the next decade or so, the AFC East is going to be fun to watch, man. I can't wait to see it.
Oh, yeah.
Your thoughts on this morning's bombshell when it dropped?
Yeah, I mean, you said last week, and I got to give you credit. You said that Mac Jones was going to pull ahead yeah. in the Patriots QB race.
Yeah,
and then you got a couple of days ago, Belichick still didn't want to make a comment on where he was leaning.
Yeah,
and then I think this morning or late last night, said something to the point of where Cam Newton looks better than he was all of last year, and everyone is looking good and meshing well. And then, and I'm listening to this clip at around, I don't know, like 5:10 to 9.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I'm sitting there at my computer at work and just working away. And all of a sudden, a ding, ding, Cam Newton released by the Patriots. I'm like, what? It was like a Twitter notification, right? Yeah. So I open it. I'm like, no. And then I see it's Adam Schefter. So I'm like, how could it not be for real? And sure enough, yeah.
You know what?
The little kid in that NFL 60 commercial, he finally – it wasn't the quarterback of the Panthers, but a quarterback for the Patriots. Yeah. And congratulations to little Mac Jones.
Yeah.
Little Mac and Cheese, as Cam Newton has proclaimed him. And it looked like – and there was that picture on NFL memes where it looks like Mac Jones just finished a whole box full of mac and cheese, and Cam Newton sitting there like all ripped and whatever. And
yeah.
They said, oh, one of these people is an – one of these players is on a NFL roster and the other one is cut.
It's crazy. When I first saw it, I thought it was like an NFL memes joke. Like, I was like, it was one
of
those.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, exactly. And then I see it, and I said, holy, I was like, they cut. And you know what? You could just see it coming. He didn't want to name a starter. And I think that the vaccination thing had a big role to play with this COVID thing. They couldn't depend on him like being there, right? Like, mm-hmm. You need your quarterback to be there, dude. Like, that stuff cannot happen. And Mac Jones, mm-hmm. Look, took advantage of it. And right, and listen, and the team rallied around him, and he played well in the preseason. And they were mm-hmm. doing the things that they want to do on offense with Mac Jones. And look, Cam is Cam, but he's not Cam Newton that won the MVP and went to the Super Bowl. He can be inaccurate with the ball sometimes, and he wasn't moving the team down the field. And I think Mac Jones is kind of fitting what they want to do on offense. And he's got some weapons. He's got two tight ends they just signed. He's got a couple of receivers. I mean, Mac Jones has got some pieces to work with here. So they might win 10 games. I don't know. But I just love the fact that these young rookies, especially considering this draft class, are going to be playing, especially. And what does it say about the University of Alabama? Jalen Hurts starting. Mac Jones is starting. Tua Tagovailoa. I mean, it's incredible what Nick Saban is doing down there. But and then now, what's Cam Newton going to do? Look, I don't think he has a personality to be a backup. I don't think he wants to be a backup. I think he thinks he can still play. But the question is, are people going to take a flyer on him, knowing that he's unvaccinated? And if you got him, let's say your quarterback goes down, you got to get him in, and that guy gets exposed again, he's got to sit out. It's just a problem, man. And I think front offices want to avoid that as much as they can. They want their guys vaccinated so they don't have to deal with the nonsense. And I don't know that a team's going to sign him before week one of the season unless something horrific happens to a starting quarterback out there. I just don't see him being signed by week one. I really don't.
Maybe not week one, but I think Dallas takes him as a backup.
I saw that, but
because they were looking into a guy by the name of Gardner Minshew. But Gardner Minshew is Philadelphia bound, and Philadelphia has yet another marquee backup that can come in and spot start if need be. And I don't think possibly win a Super Bowl. But speaking of vaccines, speaking of COVID, the old quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles,
Carson Wentz, another one.
He is in the COVID protocol along with a couple of other Colts. The Colts right now can't get out of their own way. And it's unfortunate. I don't think it's a vaccine issue. I think it's
it is.
The new variant. It is?
No, he's unvaccinated.
Carson Wentz is unvaccinated?
Yeah. And I was listening to The Herd this morning, Colin Cowherd, and he was talking about how the Colts are pissed with Carson Wentz regarding this whole, vaccination thing. And so, look, it's going to be a thing for the rest of the season. And guys like Cole Beasley and even Kirk Cousins, man, they got to figure out, listen, go unvaccinated at your own peril. But if you get into this COVID protocol, you're not going to be playing. And I don't know that these front offices are going to be dealing with that pretty soon. I just don't know. I don't see it. I think they've had enough. And I think they're just like, look, either you're vaccinated or not. Urban Meyer, he was doing his cuts. One of the things that he was asked, did vaccinations play a role? He said, yes. Like, it's playing a role in how these teams are building their rosters.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how many quarterbacks there are, too.
Yeah.
I mean, Cam, Kirk Cousins, you mentioned, Carson Wentz, three pretty big names. I think that they're all going to sign and play for Bishop Sycamore. Along with Cole Beasley, and they're going to win every single game.
By the way, for those of you who don't know,
we can touch on that a little bit.
Yeah, for those of you,
I didn't read up on it too much, Rick. If you want to take the
So for those of you who don't know, Bishop Sycamore High School is this fake online high school that was created so they can get all-star kids to play, and somehow they duped ESPN to thinking they had all high school recruits and five-star talent. And they played IMG Academy. And IMG Academy, for those are based in Florida, who have the top level of talent in any sport, whether it's tennis, football, what have you. And these kids got embarrassed 58-0 on national television in the ESPN game. And the ESPN people were like, how did this happen? And it turns out that the coach was a fraud. He just got fired today. The school doesn't exist. Then they played. They were having.
But who did they play? Like, if the pool doesn't exist, who did they play?
They don't even know who they played. Then they were playing. They played two games in 3 days and had all the kids going both ways. I mean, it's a complete disaster. And but I give them credit for one thing, man. I don't know how they duped ESPN. Give the guy credit for that, bro, because he—that's a hell of a fucking. Excuse me, I didn't mean to curse, but that's. I mean, hey, if you're gonna do something wrong, at least do it right. And they did that right. They were able to fool ESPN big time. But that's what Mike's talking about. So we're from the
we're live in living color from Bishop Sycamore over in Ohio. This is the first episode that me and Rick are doing in the same place.
Yeah, and somehow they led ESPN to believe that they were one of the top schools in Ohio. And I mean, I tell you this much: whoever vets that stuff, whoever is involved in that, they need to clean house. I mean, they need to fire a bunch of people ASAP. Like, I don't know who approved that. Gone. Whoever, if you approved it, gone. If you scheduled that, gone. If you were part of like the vetting team, gone. Just fire all of them, dude. Get rid of them. And another thing.
Did they think they could like hide a little bit by throwing the bishop in there? They get a little bit of like the religious exemptions and, you know, keep them from like digging too far. I don't know.
Bro, I don't know what they did. But whatever they did, hey, listen, like I said, you do something wrong in life, at least do it right. They did that right. God, you know, hey.
Boy, oh boy, did they. What fake team should we make? Rick.
That's a great question, man.
What's the name? Like, come on, throw out some names. We got to think about this. People in the comments, please throw out some names.
Yeah, throw out some fake names that
new and improved Bishop Sycamore. Cam Newton's coming.
Yeah. Cole Beasley. Kirk Cousins.
Team. Well, I mean, this is a high school team, but still.
Yeah.
We'll figure out something.
Saint Martin's Academy or something like that. I don't know. But it's
speaking of Saints, I am wearing a New Orleans Saints jersey today.
Yeah.
It is Mr. Drew Brees. I would like to send thoughts and prayers out to everyone in the New Orleans area.
Yes.
They were hit hard with Hurricane Ida, and pretty much everyone out there is without electricity, with the expectation it's going to be at least for the month of September, if not more. The Saints will not be playing their home opener in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And it may very well be in Dallas is the front runner. And then they have two away games. And then they have a home game against the Giants on October 4th. And that one is up in the air. And that we'll have to wait and see on that. But them hosting a football game while the whole area there is out of power, it's just not something that makes sense for the New Orleans Saints in their new Caesars Superdome. Well, newly named, at least.
That's a second big time. I mean, they've had hurricanes, but that's in 15 years. That's a what? 15, 16 years. That's a second monster storm like that.
So I think it is 15 years from Katrina.
No, 16.
It's 16. Okay. Yeah. Ironically, mm-hmm. the first game, I never liked football like through my childhood and teenager. Yeah. I was invited to a Saints Giants game, and it was a Saints home game at the Meadowlands.
Yeah.
And that was the first game I ever went to. And after that, I got involved in fantasy football, fell in love with that. And then it's been a wrap. So that really was the first game I ever actually watched was that Saints Giants game. And now Saints might be playing in the MetLife Stadium and October 4th, like yet again. Unfortunately, we don't want that. We don't want to see that.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's really bad. Over
bring back that memory.
They are underwater over there. The power grid went down there. I mean, the levees held, thank God. But geez, man, what some of these people are going to go through, and the months and years it's going to take to recover from that. Again, it's just awful, man.
The stadium, very little damage, a broken window or two. So it's really all about the people in the area, and thoughts and prayers go out to them. So that's one of the reasons I'm wearing this right now. And also, number nine, we are 9 days away from the start and the kickoff for this NFL season, this elongated NFL season for the first time in history.
Yeah.
And I know I'm excited. I know Rick is excited.
Oh, I'm excited.
And I guess we could do an early prediction right now, because the opener will be the defending champion Buccaneers hosting the Hard Knocks Dallas Cowboys. So I don't know what the line is. I haven't looked, but I anticipate probably around like 5.5 on the Bucks, and I think the Bucks can take the Cowboys on this one.
Yeah, I'm taking the Bucks. Well, I don't even care what the spread is. I'll take the Bucks easy. I just don't see the Cowboys matching up with them, and we don't know about Dak's health. I mean, we have no idea. So Bucks win this one. Set the tone. My guy Brady, who's on my fantasy team, will be starting.
Yeah, let's touch on that a little bit. How about can you pull up the over unders for the NFC and I will bring up some of our draft recap from this past Sunday.
Yeah. So, okay, for those of you who are wondering, we had our fantasy football draft. By the way, 18 rounds might be too long. We got to shorten that. That's too much.
Well, I think it was just everyone took too long.
Yeah. Well, we should do. You got to turn that into a minute.
Believe it or not, like you still feel like you have nothing.
I don't know.
Feel like you have nothing. It's at points. Well, right now we have a poll up. How many IR spots? Because of COVID. I mean, it hasn't gone away. So I think I removed one from last year, but I think we have to bring it back. But just trying to get that poll going.
Yeah.
So I would like to touch on this. I mean, I know you might be a little rusty, Rick.
Go ahead.
After taking that year off, but Christian McCaffrey went first overall.
Yeah.
Granted. And you started with your keepers of Hockenson in the 8th, Henry Ruggs in the 11th, and Antonio Gibson in the 12th. Yeah. And Antonio Gibson's great, great running back.
Yeah.
But you passed up Dalvin Cook,
yep,
Derrick Henry, and yep, Alvin Kamara.
Yep.
Three people that touched the ball an unbelievable amount of times.
Yeah.
And you went with Mr. Ups. I mean, he's great. Tyreek Hill, tell us what you were thinking there.
So here's the thing, man. McCaffrey is just coming off an injury. He's just been hurt. He's already a back. What is this, fourth, fifth year in the league? Okay, got it. With Derrick Henry, it's going to take a while for him to start cranking it out. But I just, again, another back who's been a lot of usage. And then the other one was Dalvin Cook. And that offense in Minnesota, I just see them being behind a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be throwing. And listen, he's got Patty Mahomes out there. They're going to be lighting it up on offense again. Yes, Mahomes is, I think he's still hurt. I think he's still recovering from that surgery. But I just like Tyreek Hill. I think he's going to be open a lot. They're going to throw the ball to him a lot. And he's going to have a big season coming off that disaster at the Super Bowl. And that's just – I just wanted to build a team built around today's NFL, which is, it's a passing league. I mean, let's face it. It's a passing league. And they're throwing the ball down the field. And I wanted to load up with players like Tyreek Hill. I drafted Mike Evans. I took George Kittle. Players and offenses,
yeah, you think it's Kittle, yeah.
You know, players and offenses that are going to be flying all over the field. I mean, I drafted also Elijah Moore late in the draft because I just think he's going to be a stud later in the season. And so I just wanted to build my team around offensive weapons that they're going to be able to touch the ball a lot. They're going to be throwing the ball to him a lot. And we'll see what happens. But that's kind of the guy I wanted to take.
Yeah, you wanted to go the zero RB, which is, yeah, obviously a lot of people do that. Yeah. I guess I've had Tyreek so many times, and I realized that he can touch the ball 3 times, and he can touch the ball 15. And that's where I go Dalvin Cook, or I would have went Dalvin Cook. I wouldn't even entertain the other ones. I actually, because of how those wide receivers panned out, every mock draft I had all the marquee running backs out of the picture, and then I would be getting Kelce, and I ended up Saquon fell to me, and I felt like I couldn't pass him up, even though I still had Aaron Jones and Jonathan Taylor as my keepers. Mm-hmm. So now I have, but now they're saying Barkley's probably gonna be like 2 weeks that he's gonna be out, but I think it's still it's a strong running back core.
Yeah.
And I have a little bit of a, I'm weaker than you are in wide receivers and stronger in running back, I feel. And I went with Kyle Pitts, and I think this kid's got the ability to be offensive rookie of the year, and really you talk about passing a lot. And that's why I don't really like Mike Davis as much as the great season he had last year.
Right.
I think that Atlanta is going to have to play catch up a lot this year. And I think Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts are going to have ridiculous years.
It's funny. I was thinking of drafting Pitts there, but they took him. I think they took him right before I grabbed Kittle.
Oh, no. Pitts went after. Kittle's the way to – because Kittle's proven, I mean, the injury part.
Garoppolo.
George Riddle. Yeah.
Right. But then again, listen, Pitts is there with Matt Ryan. Who knows if he can stay healthy? What about that offense? But I just feel like this is a passing league, man. And I just wanted to take my chances with some wide receivers and be strong there and kind of ride, take my chances there.
Yeah. Well, but it's definitely gets.
But look, I'm looking forward to seeing who that sleeper player is that none of us saw coming that just has a breakthrough week one. I mean, who's that guy going to be? Who's the guy out there who's going to stun the world? I mean, can you see Mac Jones throwing 3 touchdowns against Miami?
I hope that I guess you couldn't really call him a sleeper because he was the Heisman winner, but I hope that Devontae Smith has a nice season.
Yeah, I didn't see, maybe he did get drafted, but Trevor Lawrence, did he get off the board?
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence went.
He get picked. Okay.
He went in the 12th round.
Okay.
12th round.
All right. So
Wilson.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch Trevor Lawrence, how he's going to play out against that offense with Jacksonville. Now that Travis Etienne is out, obviously with a broken foot, it's going to be a college offense. And you got some subpar coordinators. Brian Schottenheimer's on that staff. I mean, I don't know. We'll see, man. I still like my boy. I still like the odds for Zach Wilson winning Rookie of the Year. I think Josh Allen's going to be the MVP of the league. I got to get over to FanDuel, man, and place a bet so I can get that done.
You mean the sports book
over at MetLife? Yeah. I was going to go in these couple of days, but it's going to be raining for the next 2 days. I won't be out in rain. So that's – let's see. That's what I'm thinking. Those two guys, rookie of the year, Zach Wilson. MVP is going to be Josh Allen.
Yeah, I mean, it's a valid – it's definitely a valid theory. I don't know. I can't really agree with Zach Wilson. I think that there's a lot of big playmakers on the wide receiver side of the ball. And Pitts could definitely make a run for that too.
He could. Listen, I think Elijah Moore can make a run for it. I mean, again, Elijah Moore is a guy who went 34th in the second round.
We have that Ramondre Stevenson is the sleeper, the kicker. For New England. So our Facebook user that's back there. It might be one of the people that actually drafted him. So
not surprised. Clearly not surprised.
I'm not sure who is putting in these, but he was drafted. I remember seeing it.
I might have taken it. What, he's the kicker?
I think you did take him.
I took him. Yeah, I took him. I drafted
him. No, you took Tucker.
No, who did I take?
Oh, no. Oh, no. He's a running back.
Yeah, he's a running back.
Ramondre Stevenson.
No, I have him. Yeah, I have him. He's on my team.
Running back from Oklahoma. Facebook user, please identify yourself.
Yes, identify yourself, Facebook user. I have Ramondre Stevenson.
We need to know.
And I picked up Ty Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean...
So I
wasn't calling you Rick at that moment. It was another word.
Yeah,
it
starts with an A and ends with an E.
Yeah. And, oh my goodness. Oh, it's Andrew. Hello, Andrew.
Hey, Andrew. Well, look, I wanted to take Michael Carter, but he got picked up a couple of picks before that. So I was like, I'm taking.
I think Ty Johnson's the better pick.
Yeah, of course. I think Ty Johnson's going to start on that team. He should have played last year.
Tevin Coleman was announced starter.
Monday morning. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. I think Ty Johnson's going to rack up some big yards.
But here's the thing.
Here's goes to show how bad Adam Gase was as a coach. Kept playing Frank Gore. He had Ty Johnson on that team, and I mean, how do you sit the guy, man? God, that guy should be banned from football. Period. That he was allowed to be a guest at Peyton Manning's Hall of Fame is a damn disgrace.
Yeah. Yes. 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 I agree. You know, he shouldn't go anywhere near it.
Yeah.
100%. Do you have NFC lines up or the over unders?
I was looking for that. Hold on. Is it on DraftKings? Hold on.
Do you think T.Y. Hilton plays this year?
T.Y. Hilton?
Yeah.
I don't know. I almost drafted him, but I don't know, man.
I went with Pittman, and I didn't realize
that was
T.Y. Hilton. I didn't realize T.Y. Hilton is dealing with a neck issue. Like I don't know. I just don't feel like this guy is gonna play this year.
Let me. Was that you who picked Michael Pittman?
Yeah.
That's a great pick, man. When I saw him
and I reached a little bit for him too.
No, but when I saw him go off the board, I was like, you know what? I completely forgot about Michael Pittman. That's a solid move right there.
You like my Herbert?
I was
Herbert pick up again.
Yeah.
And then in the 10th round, mind you, everyone, we're playing in a keeper league. The 10th round, I was going to go a certain route. And then I saw Deshaun Watson sitting there, and I didn't want to let him go to anybody else. Not the 10th round, 16th round. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. 16th round, Deshaun Watson sitting there, and I had to draft him before somebody else saw him and stashed him for keeper for next year.
Yeah, well, he'll be in Miami in a couple of weeks. So, but here's the thing. So, look, yeah, the over-under. So you want to do all NFC? Am I doing all
on NFC this year, this week, and AFC next week?
All right, so we got to run through them quick because we're short on time here. But
yeah.
So we got the Rams at 10.5.
Rams at 10.5 with 17 games. Over.
Okay. Niners at 49.5. I mean, Niners at 10.5.
Mm. 10. Under.
Okay. The Packers at 10.
Over.
The Seahawks. Wins,
easy.
Seahawks at 10.
Over.
Okay. The Saints at 9.
9 even?
Yeah.
Push.
Oh, okay. The Cowboys at 9.
Over.
The Vikings at 9 wins.
Under.
The Cardinals at 8.5 wins.
Over.
The Washington football team at 8.5 wins.
Over.
The Bears at 7.5 wins.
Over.
The Panthers at 7.5 wins.
Fucking Darnold. What do you think? You think?
It's Darnold, man. I say under.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Falcons.
That's where I was leading.
Yeah, Falcons at 7.5.
Under.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. The Giants at 7.
It depends on what Barkley comes up and shows up and Galladay and.
I'm calling it under. I'm going Giants under. They did not win 7 games.
I'm leaning towards the under.
Okay. The Eagles at 6.5.
Over.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. The Lions at 4.5. Jesus Christ.
I guess just over.
I mean,
5-12 under.
All right, there you have it.
That's it.
That's all. That's 16 teams in the NFC. I mean, unless you want to do.
Holy shit! Yeah. Oh wow. Well, that was quicker than I.
Yeah. Let's see the MVP odds. Let's go over the MVP odds real quick.
Uh huh.
Mahomes at +600.
Okay.
Rodgers at +1100, Josh Allen at +1400, Brady's at +1400.
I like 14-1 on Josh Allen.
I'm with you on that. I'm gonna take that bet.
I mean, I would take that bet. Brady, I mean, he might get it for name value, but I don't think it's because he's gonna be for
I think Brady's going to have a good season. But, yeah, I mean, those are your top
three. I think he's going to have a good season, too, but.
But those are your top three right there. Mahomes.
I think his name holds more value.
Exactly. Russell Wilson.
Than the accolades.
Russell Wilson plus 2,000, man. I mean, he was in contention last year.
I would put money on that, too.
I would put $100 on that, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd put money on that. Let's see. Rookie of the year. Trevor Lawrence plus 260. Justin Fields plus 550.
Okay.
Trey Lance at plus 650.
I like both of them, but it's not the odds aren't anything that.
All right. Wait for these two. You ready?
What about Pitts?
Pitts is plus 1,000.
Okay. I like that.
Listen to these two. Zach Wilson plus 750. Najee Harris is plus 800.
How about Mac Jones?
Here's the thing. Mac Jones is plus 1,200. I'll tell you what, after today, I would put 100 on Mac Jones. I'd pick – you wouldn't? I'd take a flyer on Mac Jones.
I'd take a flyer.
Right?
I mean, it's we're talking 12-1. I mean, how about going – you said Pitts was 1,000. What about Jalen Waddle?
Jalen Waddle is plus 1,600.
What about the defensive players?
Let's see.
Like Micah Parsons.
Not on the list.
Is he on there? It's usually – well, there's offensive rookie of the year and there's defensive rookie of the year.
Oh, hold on.
Right, broken up.
Yeah, it's offense. That was NFL offensive rookie. Hold on.
But he's probably the top one.
Yeah, offensive rookie of the year. Let's hold on. Hold on. Fuck. Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, curse. Here we go. Defensive rookie of the year. Micah Parsons plus 450. Jalen Phillips is plus 800. Jamin Davis of Washington is plus 900. Quiddy Pay is a plus 1,000 for the Colts. And Patrick Surtain is plus 1,000 for the Broncos.
Huh.
Interesting.
Yeah. A lot of interesting picks.
Yeah. And let's see. And then for the Super Bowl, let's just see what the odds are here. Yeah, Kansas City at plus 50, Tampa at 700, plus 700. The Bills are plus 1,100. The Rams are plus 1,200, really?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I did pick them on the over, but, like, Stafford, how much could Stafford change that team? Like, he had teams before in Detroit. Like, he had a guy that went to the Hall of Fame with a 5-year career. I mean, granted, Stafford definitely helped get him those numbers, but he was a beast in his own right to get open in the way that he did in demanding fashion. But he couldn't get anywhere. And I get it that their defense was never really good.
Yeah, I gotta say, man, I like these odds for some of these guys. I like these odds.
Well, I mean, Vegas knows what they're doing to make them very enticing. Let's just say.
I tell you this much: I love the Josh Allen MVP numbers.
Cowboys way under. What was it? 7.5.
Yeah.
Maybe this is Andrew again. I don't know.
Hold on, I'll tell you right now.
Andrew was a Cowboys fan, yeah. And now he's Chiefs.
The Cowboys are 9. They're at 9.
9, way under, this Facebook user says. Okay. What do you think about the Steelers releasing Jalen Samuel? I did not see that, actually. So that must have happened today?
Yeah.
Was that today?
That was part of the cuts, yeah.
Yeah. And the Jets cut Josh Johnson. I didn't even think Josh Johnson was still playing.
No, yeah. I didn't think he was going to be. Look, the Patriots cut Brian Hoyer. If I'm the Jets, I make that call to Brian Hoyer's agent like an hour ago and say, look, come be the backup. You got a spot here.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're putting way too many chips in Mac Jones's basket.
Mac Jones or Zach Wilson?
Mac Jones. The Patriots.
Yeah.
There's like nobody behind them.
Exactly. You know,
just in case. And I mean, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. I just think that's a little too risky. But I hear what you're saying about the Cam Newton, and Cam Newton went on Instagram and said, "Don't worry about me." Brandon Sports Talk's asking, "What do you think about Patriots cutting Cam Newton?" We talked about it a lot more in the top of the show. Not vaccinated, and they're afraid that he's gonna be MIA most of the season.
Yeah, it's about, they need him there, man. He's got to be there.
Yeah, he'll be picked up by a team, maybe not by week one, at some point in this early season. What was Lamar Jackson's MVP numbers?
Lamar,
if you still have it open, if you don't.
Yeah, I got it right here. I'll tell you right now what our friend Lamar Jackson is right here. Hold on one second. Lamar's numbers are,
if it's plus 14 or more,
1,800.
Oh, I would do that. Yeah, I would do it.
So here's the thing, though. He already won the MVP. Didn't he win it last year?
Oh, okay. Yes, he has won it, but they just lost Dobbins. I think he's going to be running more, personally. Yeah. I think he's going to be running more.
And that's not a good thing, man, if he's running more. You can get banged up.
Depends on how effective.
You can get hurt.
Depends on how effective he's doing it.
The Russell Wilson plus 2,000 one is that's a great number right there. And I love Josh Allen at plus 1,400, man. I like that too. Jameis Winston plus 5,000. You imagine he wins the MVP?
What was it? Plus five?
Plus 5,000. I mean, I'd put $100 on that.
50-1?
Yeah.
I mean, for $50.
I think they need to redo the Cam Newton New England one because he just got cut. So,
oh, what was he?
Cam Newton was, let's say right now, Cam plus 8,000.
Plus 8,000. Yeah, well, definitely not taking that one.
No.
What do you think about J.K. Dobbins and Jaguars running back out for the season? That's definitely a tough. I mean, the Jaguars still have James Robinson. It would have been nice for Trevor Lawrence to have Travis Etienne back there, somebody he trusts. But I don't expect the Jaguars to improve much over what they had last year anyway. So it's not going to really ruin their chances the other.
They'll be picking in the top five this year.
Yeah, Dobbins is a hit. Dobbins hurts.
That hurts. That hurts big time.
That one hurts big time. Well, one of the people in our league kept him in the 12th round and the morning of the draft, ruled out of the season. So sucks to have a keeper before your draft even starts.
Whoops-a-daisy.
Gets killed, but he gets to keep him in the 12th round next year, which is still pretty good value there. But yeah, he did snatch up Gus Edwards. So Gus Edwards is going to be the heir apparent there with a couple of other ones in the back. And they know what they're doing with their running back room. So they know how to draw up running schemes pretty well over there in Baltimore, I would say.
Oh yeah.
They'll get through it. It hurts, but they'll find a way.
They'll figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah. What else we got? Anything we missed?
Jake Paul and I didn't watch it. I think these guys know how to make money. I think the Paul brothers are guys who know how to.
Is it turning into wrestling? Is it wrestling?
It's staged now. I don't know if it's not staged, but look, he's fighting guys. He's 4-0. He's fought two Hammeneggers and a fat, overweight MMA guy, Ben Askren, whatever his name was. And he fought Nate Robinson, walked into a right hand, but now he's fought Tyrone Woodley. I mean, the more he starts fighting people who know how to fight, the tougher it's going to get.
I thought boxers take like 5-6 months off. He has one every 6 weeks.
Yeah, which is good. But listen, people watched. I didn't watch. I guess that's what it was.
All right. Well, real quick before we sign off, early Super Bowl prediction, Brandon Sports Talk.
Early Super Bowl prediction. I like the Bills.
Yep.
And I just think Tampa Bay is just too solid again this year. They're just, most of their team is back. I just don't see Green Bay's defense holding up.
No, Green Bay's not. I don't see Green Bay making it.
I don't see anybody else in the NFC beat them. Who else is in the NFC going to beat them? NFC East is shot. The South is in.
The only one I could see.
Seattle?
Seattle.
LA Rams maybe, but they just lost Cam Akers. So.
I don't know. The Rams don't match up well against Brady. No. Yeah, so. No, they don't match up well against Belichick.
Right.
So
we'll see, man.
Actually, the only person to score a touchdown in that Rams-Patriots Super Bowl is now a member of the Los Angeles Rams.
Right, Sony Michel.
Sony Michel moving over. Yeah. So Damien Harris's job over there in New England. So that's another big change over there. And Daryl Henderson and Sony Michel leading the charge over there. Todd Gurley's still a free agent. So we'll see if he ends up getting signed anywhere as well. My money's on Bishop Sycamore.
Yes, still Bishop Sycamore winning the championship. But until then, yeah.
We'll that's see. Who's going to beat the Bucks. Bishop Sycamore High School is going to beat the Bucks.
Oh man, that's classic. Well, this was another good one.
This was a very good one. All right, we'll see you all next week, everybody, and we will be 2 days away from the NFL kickoff of the 2021-2022 season. We cannot wait. Let's see what the Mets do the next few days. And let's see if the Yankees could reverse the skid over there. But it's September baseball. Have a September call-ups tomorrow. It'd be crunch time. So enjoy it all. Have a great night, everybody. We will see you next Tuesday.
Have a good one, everybody. Peace.